Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
We'll take a look at one of the controversial gun measures in the State House that have been written a lot about, House Bill 536, among some other things, with attorney Penny Dean next year on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is the phone number. You can join the conversation to ask attorney Penny Dean any question about your gun rights. Penny, good morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm just a little bit mad.
At what? At who?
Well, I don't know, because I want someone to explain something to me. Because I have this stupid theory, you know, and I'm just a girl and a blonde girl at that, so maybe I don't know things. But I thought that if we elected our representative, state representative, and our representative filed a bill, and they put in a bill, that we'd have a hearing on that bill.
Exactly, no matter how ridiculous it may seem.
Right, and I'm not even agreeing that this bill's ridiculous, but for the sake of argument, because there's been a lot of misinformation about this bill that I'd be happy to go over with people, the what I call the ridiculous misinformation, and I'm particularly talking about HB 536.
This is one of the right to carry bills that would not require a license to carry openly or concealed. And this is something that you had written about, and I posted on my website on the Second Amendment Tuesdays page earlier this week. And people can read in great detail what the bill is about. But we can certainly highlight this, because I've seen some very wild theories on what this bill would cover.
You know, you want me to tell you what my very favorite wild theory is?
About allowing hand grenades?
Yeah, because
I love that one.
I was like, okay, first of all, did anybody actually read HB 536? And tell me where it says that you can do that in the bill, because I missed that part. Okay, that's number one, is I missed that part. So I guess maybe I'm not a very good reader or whatever. But I don't see that part there. But more importantly, a hand grenade or a rifle grenade is a destructive device, and it's regulated by the National Firearms Act, which is 28 U.S.C., basically 5845F, okay? And I don't know if there's a way that we can enact state law that just totally negates federal law. I'd like someone to tell me how to do it, because I don't know how to do it.
I like to know how to do it.
Yeah, I figured a lot of people like to go to it. So anybody who wrote all those things, number one, can't have read the bill. If they read it, they can't understand it. They obviously didn't understand it. Or they're not a lawyer. Because if they were, they need to go back to law school. Like maybe first year. Because the bottom line is, like I said, if there's a way to pass state law, I can tell you that out west they've done what's called the Firearm Freedom Act. And right now they're in federal court over that. And it's very, very iffy as to what's going to happen there. But I can tell you right now that just by simply, first of all, this bill doesn't have anything to do with destructive devices or hand grenades. But people wrote up things about this bill, and I'm like, where did they get that? Did they read the same bill I'm reading? I mean, this bill has two provisions that I know many people don't like. Number one is carrying firearms in courtrooms, that we would all be allowed to do that, and certain things like that. But those parts that people may disagree with aside, okay, All the other claims are just absolutely ridiculous, and they have to be written or spoken by someone who basically either didn't read the bill or doesn't understand it. And I'm really sad, because here's what I've said in the debate about firearms bills, whatever the firearms bill is, okay? You need to talk about what this bill will or won't do in a practical, realistic manner. And HB 536 actually provides that any person present in this state, not incarcerated in a prison, jail, or other secure facility, who is not otherwise prohibited from possessing a firearm under RSA 159.3, shall have the natural right to possess or carry, whether openly or concealed, or use or acquire, purchase, inherit, sell, give, dispose of, or receive any firearm without a license, permit, or restriction of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
That says if they're in jail, they can't get a gun, right?
That's right.
Says if they're in a secure facility, they can't get a gun, right?
Bingo.
And so,
how's that really much different than what the current law is?
It isn't. This gives a person an optional license. What it says is if you want to go get a license, get a license. If you don't want to get a license, don't get a license. Representative Coffey's bill, however, it does several, many negative things. But just to focus for a minute on her bill, the negative things it does is it makes it impossible for non-residents to obtain a license to carry. And people says, well, why do we care about non-residents? There's many reasons we do, and it would take more than this radio show to go into the details.
Because I have friends who come to visit that would love to carry.
Right. Well, that's kind of one of the reasons. Now, according to her bill, they wouldn't need a license, but there's a million reasons that a lot of people like me would still want a license. But what's more important, at least from my perspective, is that what's going to happen is, in this particular case, is that we're going to have a lot of other problems. Right now, we have a state in fiscal crisis, huge fiscal crisis. And I have a letter that was given to me by Earl Sweeney, who is the Assistant Commissioner of Safety. And it was given to me last night. And basically, I don't have the letter in front of me, so I'm talking rough numbers. The state of New Hampshire expects to earn approximately $620,000 at a minimum annually in revenue from non-resident licenses.
So which that money, by the way, is supposed to fund the printouts that are handed, that are given to our police departments for the pistol license applications, which also page 2 specifies your rights under the law, which is basically a summary of our RSA 159.6.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And I'll tell you what's important about this. Do you think over $500,000 is important to New Hampshire right now? I mean, let's think. Are we flowing with money in the streets? I mean, to me, this is a no-brainer. But what the larger issue is, they were going to make it so that non-residents could not get a license to carry. Why in the world wouldn't you make it optional that a non-resident could have one if they wanted or didn't need one? But what I'm trying to say is Representative Coffey's bill, which is HB 330, takes all of those options away and takes $500,000 out of the state coffers. In the past, it's been about $1 million.
Actually, I'm reading the fiscal note right now, and it says the Department of Safety states this bill will reduce state revenue by $750,000.
And I'll agree with her. I wouldn't disagree because it changes from year to year depending on how many licenses, you know, licensees apply.
Well, keeping in mind, too, and I disagree with what they did, but
oh,
keeping
absolutely.
In mind that they raised the fee to $100 for
from
for
$20.
Yeah,
and I don't disagree with you. I totally disagree
That's
with what
greed.
They did. I don't disagree with you one bit there, not for a minute.
I have one friend who didn't buy a license, so that's money the state's not getting altogether because they had to get greedy and raise it to $100.
Oh, I think it was horrible. But that part aside, why wouldn't you make it so people could have an optional license or not? Representative Coffey's bill doesn't give out-of-state residents that option. It takes it away.
Now, let's talk about what this optional license may be, especially for residents. I don't know how it would affect non-residents by having the optional license, but let's talk about residents, because if either her bill or Representative Hull's bill passes,
we
wouldn't be required to have a license to carry concealed in New Hampshire, but I think the optional license, would that be there to protect you, say, if you wanted to go carry in another state that has a reciprocal agreement in New Hampshire?
Absolutely, but we're never going to hear about that because the Speaker of the House refuses to give Representative Hull a hearing on his bill.
Hmm.
If anyone goes to the website, they will see that Representative Coffey has a hearing date. It's the 24th of this month. However, Representative Hull has had all of his hearing dates canceled. And I think that every person, and here's what I tell people.
There were three, by the way, let me just add, there were three hearing dates scheduled for Representative Hull's bill, and every single one of them canceled.
And notice what, tell the listeners might want to know when those three dates were that were canceled. Tell the listeners what the dates were.
Okay, let me
go back
and pull up the docket. Nope, that's okay. February 9th, it was canceled, and then there was one scheduled for the 24th. And let's see. Then there was the 20. Oh, because That's the same time as Jen Coffey's bill in the same room.
Absolutely. So,
holy cow. Well, then we had the ninth as well. And then there's another one. I can't figure this out. It's like a roadmap here. And then you have one on February 10th also. So, I mean, this is just weird.
Right, but I guess here's what's very disturbing to me as a citizen, is we have Representative Coffey's bill being heard. Why wouldn't we have Representative Hull's bill being heard before criminal justice and public safety, just like any other bill filed and heard?
I thought every bill was supposed to get its own hearing.
That's what I thought. And here's my question.
By the way, with that being said, let me just go off topic for a minute. Where in the daylights is the public hearing for the fixes to SB 500 that we were told would be a top priority?
Top priority. Define top priority.
I've also heard the words fast-tracked by one of the sponsors of the legislation to fix SB 500. And guess what, Penny? We're 2 months into the legislative session. We're the second month in, and still to date, nothing's been scheduled for that either. But they sure had one for the color purple, though.
Bingo. What happened to the color pink? You know? and that's really important to me. I've never seen a case, and you're absolutely right about those hearings. If anyone who follows the political landscape can tell me if in recent history, okay, if they have found any case where we've had bills that didn't get a hearing, I'd be curious to know about it. And the other thing that I wonder, has any representative ever sued the general court for not giving their bill a hearing? Because what you have are elected representatives, okay,
uh-huh,
who are elected by the people, and they filed a bill, and I've never seen a case where a bill is refused a hearing. Now, if
that is a good question to ask. With that, Penny, let me just stop you right there for a minute, because we have a newsmaker on the line right now.
Okay.
Representative Hull joins us.
Oh, Representative Hull. Maybe
I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Representative.
Thank you. Yes, you are.
Oh, very good. Representative Hull, you're from the town of Dunbarton, right?
That is correct.
Very good. Well, welcome to Bulldog Live, and you're on with Penny Dean here on Second Amendment Tuesdays.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Okay, so have you? I trust that you've been hearing what we've been talking about here regarding House Bill 536.
I caught the end of it, yes.
Okay, good. So what would you like to say here? Because your bill certainly not getting its due hearing, is it?
Well, I think the way our legislature works, representatives are allowed to submit bills, and then those bills are given to committees and heard and go to eventually to the House floor to be voted on, and that doesn't seem to be the process for this one.
Okay, and I've seen all kinds of wild theories about your bill, and Penny was addressing them early in the conversation, like that your bill would allow hand grenades and the like, and Penny actually wrote a response to it, which is posted on my website on the Second Amendment Tuesdays page at BrianTilton.com. What would you like to add about some of the things that have been said about your bill?
I think it's been mischaracterized. It is truly a Second Amendment bill, but it's been mischaracterized as more than that.
Okay. Penny, you have anything you want to add?
You know, I think the main thing I want to add is that the bill should deserve a hearing in the public for the public to decide what they think they like or dislike about the bill. Like every other representative, it should have a hearing before the committee. It should have a recorded roll call vote on the floor, and so that the people will know how the representatives feel about the bill. But I think it's important to say, you know, for example, the color purple. I happen to like the color pink. If I was the speaker, should have I made sure that person didn't get a hearing on their bill so we could have the color pink? I mean, that's not the way it works. It's really offensive to representative government that a person wouldn't get a hearing on their bill. And to have hearings canceled like this.
This is now the third set of hearings that have been scheduled and then canceled.
And this is in the future. We're not talking about past hearings. Those hearings were scheduled for next week, which was Thursday, and then they were scheduled for the first. The first hasn't even come and gone yet, and goodness tells me what else is so pressing on the first that we can't hear it, or more importantly, the 24th. It was originally scheduled on the 24th. Why aren't we hearing this bill on the 24th?
Absolutely correct, Penny.
You know, I for one, want to know why. I want everyone to be calling the speaker's office and saying to the speaker, and the speaker's number is 228-6610, okay? And I think every person should call the speaker's office and say, Speaker O'Brien, why is it that HB 536 doesn't have a hearing date? You know, can you give us a reason for that? And has this ever happened? You know, and I was asking Bulldog to ask his listeners. I've only been in New Hampshire for 16 years, but I'm asking people, in the entire history of the State House, have we ever had a bill that they've refused to give a hearing to? And J.R., or Representative Hall, I should ask you, what explanation have you been given about why you don't have a hearing?
Currently, what I've been told is they want to schedule the HB 330, which is Representative Coffey's bill, ahead of it to get her bill through. Then they can claim that this bill, which is far broader and protects more of our rights, is not necessary.
Okay. And so do you not think of that as dirty politics at its worst level?
I think it's underhanded. I think both bills deserve a hearing. They should be heard on the same day. That's typically how the State House manages bills of like nature, is they put them in one session and they hear them right after one another.
Okay.
Well, Representative Hall, let me ask another question, because this is before the House Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee. Who's the chairman of that committee?
Representative Swinford is the chairman of that committee.
Okay, so I think maybe a call to Representative Swinford would be in order, and hopefully that she would be able to buck whatever kind of pressure is being put on by House leadership in squashing this thing and just go ahead and hold the hearing anyway.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to have a hearing on this bill. And
Representative Swinford comes from Barnstead, by the way, for the benefit of our listeners.
I think every bill, as I said earlier, deserves a hearing, no matter if it's perfect or not perfect. It deserves a hearing, and there's a process set up to refine legislation and eventually turn it into statutes, and that's what needs to happen.
But I think it's the larger issue that I'm still trying to figure out is, has there ever been a case where someone has been denied their hearing on the bill? Have you talked to other reps and asked them if this has ever happened before in the history of the State House?
I have not heard of any cases like that. I do know there's about a half a dozen to a dozen bills in criminal justice that have not been scheduled hearings at all yet, but there's none that I spotted in my limited research that were scheduled, then canceled, then scheduled, then canceled, then scheduled, then canceled.
And especially when, like you said, like bills are usually heard together on the same day so that people, meaning everyone, can decide which of these two bills is the better bill.
Right, and that way when the citizens of the state show up, they don't have to make two trips here to discuss those bills. If they're within the same domain, they can testify to both right after one another, and the strengths and weaknesses of both right after one another.
And I think
this places an extra burden on the citizens to have to show up to the State House on two separate occasions.
Very good point.
And they may not actually get a chance to hear HB, be able to testify on HB 536 if the House has taken HB 330 and moved it all the way through the process and got it passed by the House. They'll claim it's not necessary to discuss 536.
Well, Representative Hall, I also see that you had quite a list of co-sponsors on this on both the House and the Senate side, including on the Senate side Senator Jeb Bradley, who's the Senate Majority Leader.
Yes, there's been significant co-sponsors, and some of which have stayed with the bill, some of which decided it was too much. But in general, as far as I know, there are more staying with the bill in terms of numbers than there are who have left the bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. Well, Representative Hall, I am out of time in this segment, and I have to take a time out. I want to get back in touch with you. I'll email you or call you later on today to see about getting you on the show to talk about all the points of your bill.
Awesome. That would be wonderful.
Very good. And thank you very much for calling in. Before I let you go, is the governor still giving his budget address?
He is. I'm going back in there.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, thank you for stepping out and calling us. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Wow. All right, Penny Dean, I have to take that time out, and we'll chat some more, okay?
Thank you.
Yep. Second Amendment Tuesdays continues, 1-866-823-1077 here on Bulldog Live on The Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on The Pulse.